23 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week we will talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Lindsay, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Andy, Elizabeth, Sandy, and Amy. And our topic this week is traveling with groups. Is it for you? What are the pros and cons? Have you done it? Some of my best memories are from group trips. So let's get started. Let's do a little round robin here, and I'll start. Let's name some groups that love to travel. Dance groups. Sandy?
One of my favorites is girls trips, because those have been some of the funnest times for me. Although there's always like a little bit of drama thrown in, but you know, it's...
So I'll give the nerdy answer and say gaming groups, like Dungeons and Dragons players or, you know, nerdy groups like that.
They travel? They
don't just play D&D? Yes, they do. They do. Yeah. And they're a lot of fun too.
I missed that. Shush. Well, fine. I'll go next then. Church groups, religious groups, they often travel together.
How about business groups, like incentive travel or club trips?
Oh, nice.
Good answer. Good answer.
2 points. Survey says. I like this game, Lindsay. You got another one?
All right. Running groups. One of my first
Sandy would have never thought of that one.
I like family reunion groups. I love going vacations with my family.
Yeah. Couples trips.
How about, we'll take that a step further and say weddings, destination weddings.
Sports teams, sports travel.
I was going to say, yeah, golf trips. Like there's, yeah.
I think there's a slightly different side. I'm thinking more sort of like youth sports teams and clubs. Mm-hmm. But definitely golf travel, yeah.
Let's elaborate a little bit, because I think we could list groups all day. But what is, Lindsay, what's one of your favorite group trips you've ever been on or done or participated in?
I was in a couple group Disney cruises I loved.
And what was the group? What brought you together?
So one was for a birthday party, 40th birthday, and one was for a wedding. They were both a lot of fun for different reasons, and it was just nice to travel with that many people. I mean, there are some obstacles to it, of course, trying to, the logistics of getting that many people mobilized and organized at the same time. But it was very fun, and
for my 40th birthday, I did a couple of different trips. I did like a extended family trip to Disney, and I made my parents come. And that was just my husband and my kids and then my parents. But then I also did a girls trip, which was a race weekend to Virginia Beach, because they do a really good rock and roll half marathon in Virginia Beach on Labor Day weekend. And it's paired with concerts all weekend long. There's the American Music Festival. So we got to see Bret Michaels. He's the headliner. My husband was so mad. He was like, it's totally wasted on you. You don't appreciate the wisdom at all. Yeah. So that, I really extended my 40th birthday by a few months.
Amy, what about you? What was your favorite group trip?
I was just sitting here thinking, I think that the first group travel that I really did was right after the birth of my first daughter. I left her at home with my parents.
Yay, good for you.
Out of here.
She was like 5 months old. And I went away with, I think, 3 or 4 other couples. And we went to, where did we go? We went to Cancun. And then we decided right then that we all needed to get away every year and do that. And we did that for about 3 or 4 years with these groups of people. There were like 10 of us total. And we went to a couple different destinations all together. And then everybody else started having kids and it just got too confusing. I love couples travel.
That sounds like something that you can restart once your kids all get older. Yes. That'll be like really cool to go back and do that.
Well, and then we have the neighborhood I live in. It's unbelievable, but families get together and do group family travel. Like 3 or 4 families with their 3 or 4 kids each will all get together and do travel stuff too.
I bet kids love that too. Because that's one of the things my kids love about our family reunion trips is there's other kids, you know. Because they never want to be with just their family.
Boring.
That's terrible.
Well, it's always nice to travel with people, you know, your own age, even if it's within intergenerational divisions within a family. You know, the kids like to hang out together and they might not see each other very frequently, and sort of the adults and the seniors in the group, it's always just a nice way to get together. And if you're going somewhere special, that just sort of always adds to the sense of occasion.
Yep. I used to actually, long ago in a galaxy far, far away, I used to travel with a theater group that I've participated in, some of whom might even be listening to this podcast right now, so holla. But we would, and the interesting thing is we would travel as a group to perform, and all of that was sort of scheduled, you know, travel. But oftentimes we would then add on to that travel ourselves and travel just because, and sometimes alumni from the group would actually come down. So I remember one year we actually did a carnival cruise after we performed at Disney World, and there were people who came just to come on the carnival cruise, but didn't actually, they were no longer in the group. They didn't do the, you know, the actual trip. So that was really fun because it was almost like a reunion kind of trip with people with a common interest and a lot of drama.
Great how you bond with people on those trips. I did a couple school trips too. I went to Ireland, and it really was solidified relationships with those people, and have maintained our friendships throughout the years, brings you closer together.
So that was one of my first experiences of traveling. I was studying German in England, and we did a school exchange trip to our sister city in Germany, a city called Hamm. And it was great because, you know, you had to travel by bus, and then we took a ferry across the North Sea, and then another bus met us at the other end, and we drove. And we stayed with families, but you still met up for other events with the entire group, both the German host families and the traveling students. And it was just a great experience for 10 or 12 days that we were there. I've also had the experience of working as a group leader. I don't know if everybody knows, but in a previous life in a galaxy far, far away, to borrow Elizabeth's turn of phrase again.
Yeah, it's totally mine. Totally take credit for it. You heard it here, folks.
I used to run. I ran all sorts of tours around Europe, but one of the things I did was actually be the host and the go-between for English school groups who were traveling all over Europe. And I took a youth orchestra from Norfolk in England and a school group skiing into Austria over Christmas and New Year one year. And it was the kids had a great time. The teachers, it was nice to have somebody there to help facilitate things. And I think that's where it's nice to have a local contact if you're traveling, particularly somewhere where English is spoken, but it might not be the native language. And I had a great time. I learned to ski out in Austria. They didn't pay me a whole lot, but it was a great experience. And just to see, make sure these kids who are traveling who might not otherwise have got to do this, make sure they had a great experience in a foreign country.
So can I segue that, what Andy just said, into why would you want a travel agent to plan your group travel? Did we want to get into that?
Yeah, because it's a lot of work. I'll answer it. It's a whole lot of work. So, yeah. I mean, coordinating all that and all those people, it's very difficult. You have more to say about that, though, Amy, don't you?
I'm in the middle of some groups right now. Yeah, it is tough. I mean, you have to, even if you're the group leader of this group of people, you can ease your burden a bit by calling a travel agent to help you with that, with having to collect money, or if somebody wants to change up an itinerary or change up their flights. I won't even go into the details of things I'm going through, changing a name on a reservation. Mm-hmm. A travel agent can help with all that. And you got to remember, too, travel agents will have ties into different suppliers where you probably get some kind of a cut at a resort. Or I know that one of ours, as few as five rooms, qualifies as a group. And you can get, it might only be $25 off per room, but it could be more than that depending on how much you're paying for your reservation. Yeah, just kind of the facilitator. Like Andy was saying, you have to have somebody there, a contact, a person to go to for all those questions.
Yep, and that travel agent won't necessarily travel with you, although there have been some groups that I would have loved to have traveled with. I have a group right now that's in Costa Rica. I'm like, oh.
You need to make sure that's going.
Yes, I got to be sure that I'm there. But alas, I am not. I am not there. I think it's so important to think that somebody else could take care of those details. And on all of your, you're going to invite all your friends on this trip, and you know your friends, and you know that they're sort of, Judy is a little bit flighty and Dennis won't necessarily have his passport, and you can let somebody else worry about that instead of you. You just sort of extend the invitation and get them to go, and then the rest is sort of up to the travel agent to follow up for you.
Eases the burden.
Yeah. It does.
You can blame us. You can blame us.
Oh, you can blame Amy.
Even groups within a group, you know, some people may want to. I'm working with a group, with a church group right now that's planning a trip to Scotland in September. But we have people who are looking at spending more time either pre-tour or post-tour. And that's where, you know, I come in with some recommendations as to what they might want to do, or when they arrive early, or stay after the actual tour itself is finished and see a little bit more of the country, or travel further afield. You know, they don't always feel comfortable, particularly where it's somewhere where they might not speak the language, like Scotland. Oh, I'm not joking.
Yes, you are.
You know, we can just, we have a lot, if we may not know the place exactly ourselves, but we have a lot of contacts within the industry, and we can answer a lot of questions ahead of time and just make things a little bit easier for that group leader who might have a large group of friends or business associates who are traveling, and, you know, and just really sort of help ease the way, make things a little bit simpler.
And actually, that segues into something that we sort of started talking about, and then we left with the, you know, you talk about the church group, that common interest thing. It's a great way to travel. And if you have a hobby where you know other people, I mean, I've actually been on cross-stitching trips. I bet you guys didn't know that, but I used to be a mad cross-stitcher. And then I had children and it all fell apart. But I actually have some beautiful pieces that I'm still working on that I will pick up one day. But we've done trips together where you, and actually one big thing for the cruise industry, believe it or not, are quilting trips. People bring their quilts, you know, because quilting is a communal thing anyway. Why not do it on a cruise ship?
Yeah. And well, when I was on my last cruise, we saw a lot of bridge playing going on. Mm-hmm. And they'll set up tournaments for you. Well, at least, I don't know.
I don't think bridge ever left.
Yeah. These people were not, like, new to the game, I don't think. Mm-hmm. They were not young, but they weren't learning kids.
Well, the thing is, there probably are younger. Well, let's not insult the entire bridge playing community. Yeah, really? There are younger people, and you know, I think that's actually a great way to mix with other people. Is, you know, with meetup being such a big thing. You know, you can schedule a meetup group and make it into a cruise. You know, hook up with a travel agent and say, okay, we all have this common interest. Who wants to go? And the nice thing about trips like that, like a cruise, or even an all-inclusive resort, is you can do a group trip and you don't always have to be a group.
Right.
It's very easy to then come together for maybe a meal or an event or, you know, some sort of speaker or, whatever, and then go do your own thing. And you may, you know, if you don't even like another person in the group, you may never see them again. You know, you can sort of distance yourself. The bigger the group.
If it's a group, you kind of like everybody, but there's one person you don't. You could still
avoid them. Avoid them. So yeah, but it's actually I get a lot of extended family vacations where, you know, they want to do a cruise for exactly that reason. It's like, okay, this is extended family. We really like each other.
We want
mostly
a break. Yeah,
sort of. Yes. Yeah. So. Yeah, so we want a way to sort of break up and get back together. And I've actually traveled that way with friends who we're really close with, but then it gives you a chance to go do your own thing.
That's the best way to travel with friends. I mean, when we do a big group, we try to schedule things where, especially in a place like Disney, you know, where it's really hard to keep a big group together.
Don't get me started.
Yeah, you want to just say.
Sandy totally deserted me at Disney World one year. Oh, my gosh.
Did I really?
Totally. That's actually a great story. We can do this now if you want. You want this on the podcast?
Wait, which one are you talking about? Which group trip was
it? So the very first time we did a girlfriend. This is probably how Sandy and I actually became closer friends, ironically. But we did a girls' trip to Disney, and I called two of my friends. And Sandy was not one of them. And I said, hey, we should do a girls trip to Disney. And they were like, yeah. And my friend Brandy said, I'm going to invite Sandy. So Brandy brought on a lot of her friends and Sandy was one of them. But yeah, we had a moment where I had to go back and take a nap because I had a couple too many beers at Le Cellier for lunch. So I had to go take a nap. So I started texting. I'm like, hey, I'm coming back. Where are you guys? Are you going to be at Hollywood Studios or are you going to be at Epcot? And Sandy was like, we're totally going to Hollywood Studios. So I get on the bus for Hollywood Studios and I'm on the bus. And she's like, no, we're going to stay and drink at Epcot. And so I get to Hollywood Studios. I get on the boat to go to Epcot. She's like, we're coming to Hollywood Studios. And I'm like, I'm leaving and I don't ever want to see you again.
See, and I'm a good person to travel with in the aspect that I'm oblivious. And if you're mad at me, I usually don't realize it. And so eventually it just goes away.
And honestly, that was a great trip. Yeah. I mean, I joke, but it really was a great trip. I lost like 2 hours of my life, but it was a great trip. And
that's not the only time I was on a group trip where someone got stuck in Disney transportation hell. But the moral of this is the rest of the party didn't suffer because we went off and did our own thing while that person had to figure out.
It was only me.
It wasn't just you. Brandy did it one time.
I can tell you some stories when I worked as a tour guide where we've got large groups of people who've never met. Yeah.
Group dynamics.
For another time.
Yeah, group dynamics. But all that negativity aside, and honestly, it really was very fun. And the whole thing, actually, I mean, I laughed about it even then as I'm on the boat going, they're totally going to be at Hollywood Studios and I'm totally having a beer at Epcot. I don't care. So yeah, it's fine. But I think, you know, that's what groups can afford you, some room to wiggle and also a little bit of buying power too for some things. Sometimes you can arrange special events, you know, on Disney Cruise Line, you can do a mixology class and it could just be your group.
Groups do karaoke. Mm-hmm.
Kind of segued into something else we talked about a little bit before, like the theme travel that you can do is fun with a group. I know, like the cruise lines have different experiences for drinking. What about for beer tours?
Yeah, Andy, do you know anything about those?
I hear there are a couple of things around the end of those with the cruise tours. Yeah, the craft beer boom, particularly in the southeast, South Carolina's got a lot of craft breweries, and so does North Carolina. We kind of hit upon the idea that people want to visit some of these places, so we've been running several groups mainly from Columbia, South Carolina, where I'm based, out to Charlotte, North Carolina, which is about an hour and a half up the road. Or to Charleston. We're looking at getting one going to Asheville, which was Beer City, USA 2 years ago. And you really get that affinity of people who've never met prior to taking one of these trips. But we meet at a local English pub. They serve breakfast before we leave, so you get a nice base before we hit our first brewery. And we have a meet and greet with the actual owners of the brewery who come and tell us about their input in the brew process and the heart and soul and the love that they put into each beer that they produce. And we usually hit two or three, sometimes four different breweries and just really, you know, it brings people together, people who didn't know each other prior to starting the trip. Well, by brewery number two, they're fast friends.
Beer brings people together.
Anything to add there? you can attest to that, right?
Yeah, it's interesting because I sort of went along as an observer and nobody knew that I was a travel agent as well. And just to see how it developed, it really, to have a group leader, Andy would tell trivia, do trivia questions on the way so that really boring drive between Columbia, South Carolina and Charleston is really boring. So I wouldn't say in an instant, some of the trivia was kind of corny, but.
That was good effort.
Golf clap for you. But we try and make it interesting. We try and make it education. People think brew tour, we're just going out to drink. We want to try and make it sort of educational, informative, and meet the people who are all very interesting characters, these brewers who own these small microbreweries, sometimes nano breweries. You know, by the end of the trip, everybody's having a good time. Everybody's making fun of each other and swapping notes and becoming friends on some of the beer drinking applications that are out there. A lot of people that we've had, you know, we're still in touch with, and I talk to people who've been on the tours and say, oh, I've heard from so-and-so. And so it brings people together in a way that, you know, even we didn't really anticipate when we first started doing this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's been a lot of fun.
I think that's where social media has been really good. It's like meetup.com, and, you know, then you can make the Facebook page, and you can, it's mm-hmm. a really good, people can really keep in touch and do these kinds of trips with, you know, a bigger group and stuff.
Yeah, and I think the point there, too, is that you don't have to actually already be a member of a group in order to form a group. I mean, there's so many ways to sort of form some sort of common interest group and get people to go. And so there's so many things that you can build that around. And there are trips for all kinds of things. Absolutely. If you contact your travel agent, if you're, you know, we, our name, Outlander Travel, Outlander is also a series of books set in that foreign speaking country of Scotland and among other places. And it is possible to put together a group to do tours to the places that are in that book. If you have other favorite, but there are Harry Potter oriented tours and, mm-hmm. And there are beer tours that will go to, there's river cruises as well that will go to Belgium, Germany. And you can, you know, really experience sort of the history of brewing. Wine tours, we've talked about this.
And you think of any hobby, you can mm-hmm. buy it.
Yeah, cooking. Mm-hmm. Like you were saying, the cross stitch. Yeah. I mean, there's knitting cruises.
Yep.
Chocolate cruises.
Yep.
Yeah. Knitting isn't food.
No, food. I think you're going food. Well, that is our show for this week. On behalf of Elizabeth, Sandy, Amy, Andy, and myself, Lindsay, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.